The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat. Hey, John and I have a great time this week. Plenty of Disney Plus news. That'll probably be a hot topic for a little while. At the end of this episode, we lock the door and we go full spoilers on Batman number 83. So if you've read that, definitely check that out at the end. We were really looking forward to getting to that. So hopefully you've read it and you can take part. If not, go grab it and then grab the key under the kryptonite rock and come on in. Let's head into the store. Johnny, how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, soaked.
Soaked.
The weather out there, what? It's not fit for man or beast.
Oh, no.
It's been horrible.
Has it? Yeah. I wore shorts today. It was 70 degrees.
You're not helping with the illusion.
I know. Well, you're supposed to be here.
I know. And I'm telling you, it's horrible out there. Look out the window.
Oh.
No, it's... Oh. It's been a rough couple of few days. It's been a horrible... I hate it when... I mean, my life depends on good weather. And when you're this right. late in the month and the weatherman says, this is the worst November we've ever had in history. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks. stay indoors. It's funny because my wife said yesterday, she goes... She's like, I feel so bad for you. I'm like, because I can't work. And she goes, right. I go, why do you feel bad for me? Like, just me.
Right.
And she goes, well, you must be bored. I go, I don't work for entertainment. I work for
right.
money.
I'm not.
Feel
right.
bad for us.
Like, I got plenty to do to keep me busy.
I know.
It's not that I'm bored. We don't have any money for groceries, but I'm watching a lot of Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus I'm cranking through, but I'm like, I feel bad for you. What are you, nuts? But we've eaten good the last 3 days. That was nice. I made dinner.
Well, there you go.
The crock pot is your friend. You put everything in, you can walk away. I love it.
That's it. You just throw it all in and go.
She loves it. She comes home and she's like, you're the best. I was like, what? It was like 5 minutes. I just dumped everything
right.
in. Like, and I thanked her after dinner. I go, thanks. That was great. She goes, you did it. I go, yeah, but you told me what to put in.
Right.
I'm like a dummy. It's not that hard. So how's your week been going in shorts down there?
Yeah, I'd say pretty good. You know, last week we were in the 30s and we were wearing pants again.
Most people do in the 30s.
And then this week it's been back up into the mid to high 70s and I'm back in shorts. So, you know, I got to pack them up, take them out, pack them up, take them out.
There you go. Well, secret down here. Oh, up here, I'm still in shorts. I go shorts all the way to Thanksgiving. So,
yeah.
I got another week.
Another week.
Yep.
Yep.
And you can
another week of sitting at home.
Yeah.
That's not working, wearing shorts.
Yeah, it's real hard to wear shorts sitting on the couch.
Yeah. You're not acclimating right now because
no,
you're not working.
Actually, I am. Everywhere I go, people are like, is there a warm front coming through? That's what a guy said in the store today.
That I don't know about.
Yeah. Hey, just before we got on, I was catching up on my Arrow. Have you been watching Arrow at all?
I have, but I did not watch...
This week's.
Yet. All
right.
I watched The Flash this morning, but I didn't have enough time to watch Arrow.
I'm about 3 episodes behind on The Flash. I'm about 10 minutes...
Yeah, I'm caught up till last week on Arrow.
Okay.
So.
I'm 10 minutes into this week's, and then then you texted. So, call me an idiot again.
I was going to say, sure.
So I did not even realize it didn't hit me until, what was it, a couple of episodes again when the monitor walked up to Lila.
Yeah.
And
yeah, she's...
she's got a deal with
who she is.
Harbinger.
Harbinger, that's right.
And it like all came flooding back. I was like, wait a minute, is she going to be Harbinger?
Yeah.
Because they haven't said it yet.
No, but I read that. I read it on one of the internet rags.
Well, she's already had it as her call sign or something in previous seasons.
Right, and she's got a costume. Yeah, she's wearing a costume.
Oh, is she?
Last week's, I think. I thought on last week she had a...
Oh, maybe.
Where have I seen... Or maybe I've just seen pictures of it online. But I've seen pictures of her in costume. But I thought they'd showed it on the
maybe
season already.
There was one episode that I was in and out. I was doing some stuff, and I missed... Maybe I missed that part.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah, she's going to be... Yeah. I don't know what kind of deal she's got going on.
She's got
on,
some deal going with him or something like that. Yeah. The other one that I heard is her deal is for Sarah Back, their daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And as the show's going, you could see how that could actually solve some issues, which would be pretty cool. But, yeah, I'm actually – and the other thing is I know this is probably going to bother you. The way they're intertwining things, I'm looking forward to the next Arrow 2.0.
I'm not necessarily, but I do like the fact, like, starting last week that they're all
present
together.
Yeah,
yeah,
present
they're
day.
All in the one timeline. So I did like the interactions between Mia and Oliver last week a lot. And even between Ollie
language.
No, I'm sorry. I can't remember his name now. The son. It's going right out of my head, but that, you know, those interactions with him and in the kids, I liked both of them.
William.
William, that's right. Last week, so.
Wait till the beginning. This isn't a spoiler, but the beginning of this season. I mean, this week's it in being like Love Archery. Great opening. It's him training her with tennis balls. And wait till you see that. It's so much. Okay. It's so much fun, and it's like I don't even want to spoil it for you. There's a little thing he does, and it's actually pretty funny because she just. It's like mouth. It's like jaw dropping. She goes, like what? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
She's like, maybe I'm not as good as I thought
exactly.
I was.
It's like, and that's what I love when people like you saw her in the episode. When she tried to get through him, she's going to the elevator, and she's like, I've been trained by Nissan Al Ghul, so you don't...
Right.
He's just standing there, and I love when people, in all, like, previous seasons, people would try to fight him and be like, this is Oliver. What are you doing?
Right.
Have you not read a comic book?
Right.
It's like, and they all try to, like, when he was training, what's his name, Mad Dog or whatever?
Yeah.
Wild Dog?
Wild Dog.
Yeah, is it, but he thought he was like this badass, and then he just dropped him.
And then Oliver just kills him, almost kills him, right? Like, I forget what happened, but he hurt him pretty bad.
Going way back when he shot Barry.
Yeah.
And then Barry got him back last season in the crossover.
In the crossover. Yeah, that was pretty good.
He got to shoot him. No. So I'm actually really enjoying it. Started slow for me. I'm liking how Arrow's going this year. It does seem like every episode is like a goodbye to one character.
Yeah.
Like he said bye to his sister.
I don't think it's the best season still, but no. I've been savoring it because I know that every episode is just like one more to the end.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right. Every episode feels like a love letter to somebody.
It's like he's saying goodbye to his like the one where he said goodbye to his sister. He's saying goodbye to you know. I mean, it's cool. It's and that episode where he got to see his kids again is really cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to how they wrap that up. It's gonna be weird having him quote unquote die.
Yeah,
I don't think he's gonna die, but
I don't think so either. But we'll see.
What do you got for news? What do you got going on?
Well, I've got a few things. Looks like we have finally a concrete release date for Black Adam. It's supposed to hit in December of 2021.
2020,
yep. Yeah, 2021.
Yep.
And then I actually just saw an article while I was at dinner speculating that Henry Cavill's going to return in that movie.
I heard that too. I didn't see an article. I heard it probably on Twitter or something.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of lends credence to, like, he did an interview in like Men's Health or something this past week that dropped, saying also that he was not done, quote unquote, wasn't done with the character yet. So maybe he's not going to be part of like whatever Matt Reeves is doing in his new universe, but Black Adam, I would imagine, would exist in the Shazam universe, which was still part of, you know, the, I guess, the Snyderverse. So we'll see. I mean, even if it's not quite the way he should have gone out, it'd be cool to see him come back and do another movie. But regardless of whether he's in it or not, we still have, like I said, Black Adam in December. And then, I don't know, this is a Disney Plus, you know, we can't get away from Disney Plus, but I know that there was a tweet you were talking about the other day about, you know, how somebody made the comment that all the Star Wars movies were present except for, like, Last Jedi and Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
And their on Netflix point was that they weren't good enough, right, and that's why they weren't there. But, you know, obviously that's not the case. And I'm sure you've noticed this, but if you scroll through Disney Plus, you can pull those movies up, and they show you the dates that they're going to be available.
Yeah, I think if you go, like, so alphabetical.
For instance, I think, right. If you go to the all movie section and you scroll down, you can see all these things that aren't there yet, but they have the dates when the licensing expires. For instance, Solo and Ragnarok all hit in about 2 weeks. I think December 5th.
Really?
Is when they drop.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, The Last Jedi, actually, which one came out first? Last Jedi or Solo? Whichever one's available in December, and the next one's not until next year. But
which is what, a month after that?
Well, I mean, like a year
late?
Later.
Oh, a year later? Oh,
yeah, okay. Like almost a year later. And then you could see a lot of other, like I said, there was lots of other movies that
would probably, I think,
through.
Solo was the last one to come out.
Okay, so that's probably the one that's next year.
Solo came out like 6 months after Last Jedi. Remember, okay, because that was when we had, like, Solo was our first podcast, because it was like, our first podcast was like 3 months after Solo.
And everybody was blaming
fatigue.
Right, and everybody was blaming Solo's failure on The Last Jedi. So yeah, that makes sense. So Last Jedi and Thor Ragnarok both hit Disney Plus on December 5th, I think, was the date. So just a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And then Solo will be sometime
next
year.
What about Infinity War? Did you see that? Because Infinity War is not on there yet. Endgame is, but Infinity War isn't.
So it's there also, but
you didn't see the date?
I didn't see the date.
Okay, that's what I was...
And the reason why I was looking through it, because what I didn't find at all were any of the Raiders of Indiana Jones movies. There's no Raiders of the Lost Ark
Universal.
Or Indiana Jones.
They're owned by Universal.
Okay, see, I thought they were part of the Lucasfilm deal.
Mm. Oh, maybe you're right. Yeah, you may be right.
But in either case, they're not there.
They must be, yeah.
So it must be. And there was no dates. Like, they didn't even show up
they're
with
not
future dates or anything.
I was confusing my parks. They're not Universal, because Indiana Jones is at Disney. They have a whole they have an Indiana Jones, not Universal, they have an Indiana Jones theme thing, show.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know, but there's some kind of streaming deal that's preventing it from hitting Disney Plus. But like I said, I thought that the fact that they were absent completely means maybe there's something else going on there, and maybe they don't have the rights to stream it after all.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, that is interesting, yeah.
Yeah. So for now, they're still on Netflix, but I just thought that was interesting.
Well, that if they're on Netflix, it has to be their contract with Netflix is
right,
the only reason. But when does that run out?
But it run out? Because like I said, even if it was, I don't know how far, maybe it's like a 5-year deal or something. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't show it if it wasn't going to be available for 5 years. But,
yeah.
Any case,
exactly.
I just thought that was cool. I didn't know how many people had noticed that, you know, if you're looking for movies, you can actually see when they're going to show up.
Netflix, I just pulled it up. Netflix didn't get Indiana Jones until January 1st of this year. So I got to imagine it's got to be at least
a
2 or 3 year
deal.
Contract. Yeah. So, you know.
So take that for what it's worth. But I thought that was part of the Lucasfilm deal. So I was surprised that they weren't, because I was hoping that we would get 4K Atmos releases of those movies, because those don't exist on disc yet either in 4K.
Right.
So, you know, we'll have to see what happens there. Moving on, it looks like,
Oh, hang on. why Disney Plus may never have the original Indiana Jones movies. This is on Screen Rant from November 13th. Obviously, they don't. Nobody knows the length of the contract. Is basically what this is saying.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah, just a whole lot of fluff and basically telling you nobody has any idea how long the contract is.
Okay.
So, and that's only, what, a week old, that article.
Right.
So, that's on
Screen. Well, so the fact that, but that doesn't necessarily, I guess, preclude them doing 4K disc releases still at some point soon.
Yeah.
But I would think if they remastered them for Disney Plus, that would make it, you know, a no-brainer that we would get the discs shortly after. So, we'll have to see what happens.
They are also coming out with the Indiana Jones 5 in 2021. So that,
which is Disney.
Yeah. And basically usually when you're doing discs and stuff, that you release those things just before to get everybody's juices flowing and stuff, and that's when the stuff gets
hot.
And
then so they can do a big box set
after the fact. So they get the double dip. So I would imagine, and that's not till 2021, so I would imagine probably a 4K release maybe like next Christmas around that time. And that's purely speculation on my part off of just dumb numbers here.
I really only need two of them anyways, because there's only two out of the four that were any good.
Need the first one for me, but.
Third one, the Sean Connery one is pretty good. Last Crusade,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on. It looks like...
Nice segue.
Yeah. It looks like Moon Knight is being confirmed for the Blade movie. I don't know if you saw
as
that.
As a
character.
As a character,
yep. So I know last week when we talked, we were talking about, like, She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel showing up in the movies, but we didn't... We mentioned that we hadn't heard anything about Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 days later, I saw this story. So they must have heard us.
Yeah.
And they decided to put that out so we could see it.
We are big time.
I know. We are.
That'll be a good tie-in. That'll be a good teaser for people.
Yeah.
I got to imagine, you know, not our listeners, but most of the general public's going to be like, who's that?
Well, and I would think that, and I'd have to go back and look at the timelines, but again, I would imagine, knowing what Kevin Feige said, that we would have the Disney Plus show for Moon Knight first, and that would lead into the Blade movie.
See, I was thinking the other way around. I was thinking we'd see the character, and then the show would come, and that would pique people's interest.
I mean, we'll have to look at the timelines, but the article made it sound like She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel would appear on Disney Plus first, and then jump into the movies. It could go either way, but I would think that, you know, just like, you know, Vision or WandaVision is leading into Doctor Strange, I think all the Disney Plus are going to lead into the
those are established characters. You know what I mean?
Well, but She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel won't be.
True.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yep.
More Disney Plus. This is not so much, I guess it's news, but... this is something you and I were just talking about, how Disney Plus is working on a continue watching feature.
Yes.
So I know when we did our show on Monday, we talked about the lack of continue watching.
There's a lot of lack of things. And
the article doesn't make any mention of starting over from the beginning feature, but I would think that that would probably be part of it also. I need that feature.
I'm wearing out my Apple remote.
That's what we're calling it too, starting over from the beginning feature.
There's a word for that. It's called replay.
Rewind, replay, yeah.
That's what I'm finding I'm doing right now is when I finish a show, like Mandalorian, as soon as the credits roll, I rewind.
I've been doing that too with the movies. It's like I just rewind it when I'm done. That way next time I want to watch it, I don't have to worry about it.
Going back to the 80s again and bringing your movie back to Blockbuster.
It's like, be kind, please rewind.
Yeah, rewind. I don't want to start it. I don't want to sit down with my soda and popcorn and be like, why am I seeing the end credits?
I don't want to get charged that $4 rewind fee from Blockbuster.
What movie? Jen and I did that on a movie on Netflix, and one of the kids had watched a movie. And we sat down, and we were, like, all excited to watch it, and we were sitting there, and we're watching, and, like, 10 minutes later, the end credits rolled.
Right, you like didn't even you saw the end of the movie.
We read the synopsis. Everything worked. It just the way movies are now. You're like, wow, we just jumped right into the action. Okay, you're right. Here we go. And the credits rolled, and we were like, what the hell? We're like, oh yeah. No.
That's like, well, no reason to go back and watch the beginning now.
Yeah. No, we watched the whole thing and then got to the end, and we're like, that's why it was sad.
Right.
I had no context.
Right. Let's see. Amazon's Lord of the Rings series has already been renewed for season 2. Ahead of the production of season 1. Yeah. What were we talking about last week where we talked about the same thing?
Witcher.
The Witcher, right. So, now this doesn't come as big of a surprise knowing how much Amazon paid to get the rights for this. Like, yeah, it's probably a no-brainer.
Next week,
yeah,
they're going to do season 3.
Yeah, they're going to renew seasons 4 and 5 pretty soon. Because I think that was part of the commitment anyways, that they were going to do multiple seasons. But according to the article, they have to formally announce every season regardless. So I guess they're just making the announcement that...
Really?
It's part of the deal with the Tolkien estate, I guess.
Oh, okay.
That they have to announce the season. But any case, that's, you know, season 2 is coming sometime after season 1. Which has
Cameron's filming like 6 avatars at once, so what right. the heck?
Right. I don't think they've finished casting the Lord of the Rings yet, and we're already talking about season 2.
Yeah.
So and then the last thing I have, and this is more of a rumor than a news story necessarily, but it goes back to something we talked about on a show recently. And it says The Rise of Skywalker will not leave loose threads for a new trilogy. So, you know, we speculated that it would wrap everything up in a neat little bow before it was over.
Yeah, well, The Mandalorian was supposed to be its own little world with have no other threads outside of it. That didn't really pan out.
Well, and that goes to, it kind of piggybacks on something I saw today that it looks like their Lucasfilm will be announcing the next Star Wars project in January.
Oh, cool.
Basically, when it's coming and who's doing it. But now it appears the front runner is Jon Favreau, you know.
Well, of course.
Because The Mandalorian's been such a big success, so...
His 10 minutes of content is really great.
Well, they've renewed it for season 5 already, so I don't know how they can...
Yeah, but that's only like 2 hours more content.
Right. I know.
At this rate.
Speaking of... I said I was done, but I keep thinking of things I saw earlier. Apparently also, Jon Favreau said in an interview this week that there'll be no Baby Yoda toys for Christmas.
Because they didn't see that one coming?
Because they wanted to keep it a secret for so long that now there's not enough production time to get anything to market. Because, I mean, you have to have Christmas toys on the shelf now, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there won't be any Baby Yoda merchandise for
Christmas.
Now I gotta
revamp my list.
I know. All my grandkids were getting Baby Yodas.
I was talking about me.
I know, right?
So, oh man. That is
it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that is. Well, now I got to think of something else. It's funny. My son at school, he texted yesterday. He hasn't listened. He hadn't listened to our Mandalorian podcast, and he's like, "I can't because I can't. I haven't seen the Mandalorian yet,
right?
Because he's so busy with school." And I was like, well, if it helps, they're only 39 and 32 minutes. And he goes,
yeah, you only have an hour.
Yeah, he goes, actually, that helps.
Yeah. So you only need an hour.
He texts me this morning. He goes, while I was doing my laundry, I watched The Mandalorian. Right. I was like, oh, cool. So it is helping, you know, the struggling college kids.
I guess, like, yeah.
I mean,
for everybody else, we want another 18 minutes an
episode. Nobody's
thinking
of the guy like me with a rainy day and hours to kill.
Right.
Slaving
over a crock
pot. I need
each episode to be 7.5 hours long.
Exactly. We got a tweet from Pierre Ramirez talking about our Mandalorian podcast. He's like, I heard your podcast, but I'm sure the Mandalorian stopped the android from blowing up because he probably didn't want flying shrapnel fragments flying into him. If you go back and look, That's a very close distance and could have done some damage between the armor gaps, just saying.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good point. I thought of that too at the show, but I personally, I like to put the good feelings into the guy.
Right. So,
I mean, he could have hidden behind the pole too when it blew up, but. Right.
There's been a whole bunch of memes this week too about that IG droid and his self-destructive tendencies. I've seen all kinds of stuff online.
Suicidal tendencies.
His suicidal tendencies, yeah.
I haven't seen any. Yeah. I haven't seen any of them.
I can't think. I mean, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I've seen
I was
a few
waiting
that
for
were,
an example.
Kind of funny. No, I don't have one.
So last on Monday, we teased with that Comic Talk Today rumor. And I told you after the show, I think for any of our listeners that went and took our advice and listened to Comic Talk Today on the Nerdy Legion, that the rumor was that he talked about is that Obi-Wan appears in The Mandalorian.
I've heard that rumor also, and it's, I mean, it's possible because.
Yeah. And
they might try to tie the shows together.
Right. And it would be, you and I talked after the show, after Monday's show, about like speculating like it would be a time, not a time travel thing, but a time jump. Like you would have to go back to Ewan McGregor's time period because the Obi-Wan now in Mandalorian time is
right.
dead
well,
and
he's dead.
Old.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. I don't know how he would appear necessarily, but. I've heard that rumor.
I'm wondering, you and I had said the other day, what if it was, like, him around the baby Yoda?
Right, it would have to do something with the baby, because the baby's 50 years old, so.
Yeah. Baby Yoda, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing this stuff all over Twitter, and these holier-than-thou Star Wars fans, and they're like, it's not Yoda. It's not a Yoda. It's not a baby Yoda. I'm like,
it's a baby, whatever that species
right,
is.
Right. And that's,
and we don't know what the species
exactly.
is. So
people do understand. We know that isn't Yoda. We're
right.
saying baby Yoda because
we don't know
we
what
don't
else
know what
to
it
call
is.
It.
What are you, a baby green thing with ears?
Oh, you know what? I don't know if I can find it now.
Do you
but
know
I
what it is?
I saved an article the other day that talked about what I think I have it right here. It tells the Mandalorian's name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But my point in that is
we were talking about the other day how we didn't know what his name was.
Yeah. But my point in that is the baby Yoda is just a fun name for him because nobody else
right.
knows what to call him. We know it's not Yoda.
Right. Okay. His name is Din, D-Y-N, Jaren. Jarren.
Okay.
So that's the name of the Mandalorian, Din Djarin.
Do you find that on a singles app or something? Or
yeah, it's like, a
dating app? I mean,
it's a dating app.
How do they know that?
Friend Finders. It's in an article. It's probably on
IMDb
or something, yeah. But it is. Screen Rant has it. So
who released
it? Screen Rant released this article. And it's really just a spoiler article for the show, but
yeah, IMDb just has Pedro Pascal as the Mandalorian.
Oh well,
so
okay. Well, I clicked the link
that'll be
of Din Djarin, and it brought me to another article from Screen Rant that says the Mandalorian's real name revealed. It says Pedro Pascal reveals the real name of the Mandalorian while discussing the new Star Wars series from Disney Plus. So,
okay.
So it comes from Pedro himself.
Okie dokie.
So now we know. I mean, we haven't heard it in the show anywhere, but
half the battle.
That's right. The more you know.
Yep. All right. We got anything else?
No. I didn't think I had that. I just keep remembering stuff.
I know. All right. We ready to get into some comic books?
Sure.
Or are you still going to be looking at that article right there?
No, I'm done. I'm deleting my notes so I don't go back to them.
Okay, you could put them down.
Next week.
Oh, I'll stop you if you start again on the same note next week.
I'm good.
All right.
We can go ahead.
All right. What am I spending my money on this week?
All right. So the first book we're going to take a look at this week is Captain Marvel number 12. So it obviously came out today. This is the basically the beginning of the dark Captain Marvel storyline that they're doing. And this one has her quote unquote killing Thor. You know, obviously that's probably not going to stand, but there is a scene in the book I haven't read yet, but she's holding his head in her hand. So I don't quite know what's going on there, but in any case, you know, this has some demand. People are looking at it. The 1 in 25 variant is selling for about $30. So, I just got two covers. Both of them seem to sell in equal, ratios today from the store, but I did have people coming in. The news of this storyline leaked a couple of weeks ago, so people were looking for it, you know, when we opened today. So definitely one that you might want to pick up. Absolute Carnage number 5 hit today. There's two different 1 in 25 variant covers. Both of them are selling for about $35. Regular covers, there's nothing special going on with any of them. So if you could pick up one of the variants for a good deal, I would go ahead and grab one. And then last but not least, we have Heartbeat, issue number 1. There was a 1-per-store variant that has a lot of interest on eBay right now. It's going for between $50 and $65. I saw a bunch of sales in the $65 range yesterday. So definitely one to look for. Every store should have got one. If they ordered the book at all, they should have got one of these variants. So it's not like you had to order like a 1 in 25 to get it. I only ordered 6 copies and I got one of these. So,
oh, cool.
So you should be able to find one. It just depends on the pricing. And it's an awesome cover. Like, it really looks cool. So I can see why people are jumping on it. Cool. And that's it as far as speculator books for this week.
Question.
Yeah.
What's the market on Batman 83? Nothing big on that?
Nothing big. I mean, I know it was as far as the issue itself, it was a very good issue. I read it. Yeah.
When we talk about that after the show?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a very good issue, but it doesn't have any speculator interest at this point. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah.
Lock the doors. All right. Let's get into back issue bonus.
All right. So we talked about this last week, but Superman 17 is continuing to pick up steam based on the fact that next issue, Superman reveals his identity to the public. Cover A is going for $8 to $10 on this now, and the B cover is selling for about $15. So, again, this is just the lead-in. Like, this is the book that really doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
It's just the issue. It's the issue before it happens. But for some reason, people are really starting to pick up on this already. Makes me kind of wish I would have ordered more of 18s already, because I ordered more than normal, but it makes me feel like I won't have enough coming. If people are already looking for this issue, they're definitely going to want issue 18.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a future speculator book, but I would get into your store and reserve your copy if you can before it comes out. Then we have Shazam, issue number 28. This is the second appearance of Black Adam. Demand is, you know, starting to pick up for this as well. The first appearance is already a higher priced book, so I think people are starting to maybe collect the second appearance. Obviously, we talked earlier that the movie has now a definite release date. So, you know, anything Black Adam is going to start picking up value. Right now, this seems to be selling for about $120, but prices are all over the place. So, you could be looking in the 200, 300, 400s in for graded copies in high grade. So, definitely one to go take a look for. This is a book from the '70s, so it's, you know, probably not in dollar bins, but if you can get them before the prices get marked up too much higher. Then we've got Amazing Spider-Man issue number 12. This is from the 2015 series. This is the first appearance of Leopardon. Currently selling for about $12, but the speculation is that he may appear in Spider-Verse 2 in 2022. So, again, this is a long-term speculator's book because we won't know for, you know, 3 years almost whether this character is going to appear. But the speculation is there for some reason, so it might be worth picking up now for $10 to $12 and seeing, because, you know, when the first Spider-Verse movie came out last year, if you'll remember, we were talking about a first appearance of a spider character for months after that movie came out, because people were jumping on all of those things.
Right, right.
So, this, like I said, this might be one you can get ahead of early. From Oni Press, we have The Bunker, issue number one. This is in some stage of development as a property, whether it's a TV show or a movie. I don't really know.
Talk about big.
Well, I don't know.
Somebody talked about it somewhere.
Yeah. It's been optioned somewhere, and it's being developed.
Yeah.
It's going for about $15 to $20 right now. Also, books we've talked about in the past, we have Sandman, issue 1 and 8. Again, you know, Netflix announced the ongoing Sandman series and Neil Gaiman's involvement in that series. So these are going to continue to hit interest. I think they're the first appearance of Death and Sandman, obviously, in issue number one. I think Death is issue number eight. $75 to $100 for number one, and number eight selling for about the same. So in those, I would expect to continue to rise. And last but not least, we had releases this week of House of X and Powers of Ten, fifth print variants of number one. speculators are looking at these just because of the scarcity. You know, the event's over now. Stores aren't really ordering a lot of the fifth printings anymore. Yeah. So there's not as many of these out there. And right now, a set of both of those is selling for $10 to $15. It's not crazy, but it's more than double cover price. So, I guess if you're a completist, you know, these are the fifth printings
so
that just came out.
So a completist would want, like, every printing of every book?
Some of them. Again, there's different degrees of completionism, but...
Yeah, that would be a degree.
But, you know, I mean, the ultimate definition of completist would mean they wanted every printing and every copy. So... Wow. It just, again, it just depends on the stage of your mania and how deep you want to go. But,
I think if you had that much money, you could do something else.
Right. Well, and at this point, if you're waiting for the fifth printings of all of these books, because this is just number ones.
But that's what I mean.
You're probably better off just waiting for the graphic novel at this point if
right.
you want to read it.
Well, they're going to get that too if you're going to be a completist.
Yeah, maybe so.
Jeez. I didn't even think of it that way. I thought I was nuts, although I do own pretty much every version of Terminator 2.
Yeah, and Star Wars. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you name it. So, all right, and that's it for back issue bonus.
All right, let's get into final order cutoff for next Tuesday.
All right, so...
next Monday.
For Monday, yeah. So we have, from Dark Horse Comics, we have Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy. This is issue number 1 of 6 with 2 covers. And Tales from Harrow County, Death's Choir, issue number 1 of 4. And there's 2 covers for that. That's it for Dark Horse. From DC, we have variant covers for Batman 85. That's Francesco Mattina. That's also the last Tom King issue, so might have a additional buzz around that, being the end of the City of Bane storyline and his run. Batman Superman number 5 has a Jim Chung variant cover. Justice League 38, Tony S. Daniel, and Wonder Woman 83, Jenny Frisson. We have 2 new series from DC. We have The Low Woods, issue number 1. That's actually one of the Hill House horror comics. There's 2 covers, and it's a 6-issue miniseries. And then we have Suicide Squad, reboot, issue number 1, and there's multiple covers for that. From IDW, we have I Can Sell You a Body, issue number 1 of 4, and The Kill Lock, issue number 1 of 6. Both of those, just 1 cover. And Marvel, we have no variant covers because they didn't have any to look at. New series, we have Hawkeye Freefall, issue number 1, multiple covers. We have the relaunch of Star Wars, issue number 1, multiple covers there. Tarot, issue 1 of 4, and Thor, issue 1. This is the Donnie Cates version. This has multiple covers also, and when I say multiple, we're talking 20 plus. Like, it went on for a whole page. It was ridiculous. And then last but not least, we have from Valiant Comics, Visitor, 1 of 6, with multiple covers. That's it for FOC.
Wow. All right. Now we're into book club.
Yeah.
Why don't you start with your second one? Because I read the first one, then I'll do mine.
Okay. All right. So the first book is from Boom Studios. It's Heartbeat, issue 1 of 5. This was written, drawn, and created by Maria Lovett. So this is one of those books that seems like it's going to be really good, even though nothing actually happened in the first issue. Like, this was a lot of setup. Like, we just spent a lot of time meeting the characters. Kind of. We spent a lot of time meeting Eva, who's the main character.
Okay.
She's an outcast at a high school that's a private school that, you know, she really can't afford to be at. She's like the poor girl around all the rich people. Everybody knows she's there on scholarships and doesn't have any money, and they make fun of her for being poor. And really nothing happens to her until the very last page. But the description of the book kind of gives you a little bit more about what you're going to see in the next 4 issues. So basically she starts interacting with one of her schoolmates. It's a guy named Donation, it looks like, although it's not spelled like, you know, donation. But and he's like, you know, basically a killer. You know, looks like he likes to drink blood, and there's a scene where he's, you know, at the end where he's murdered somebody and she walks in on it. But she's going to get pulled into this world. You know, she's already an outcast, she doesn't belong, and he's going to give her some belonging, it seems like. So where it goes from there, I don't know. But I thought the writing was pretty good, and I really liked the art. And like I said, even though nothing really happens in this first issue, it seems like it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a good series. It just had a lot of setup with the characters. But I recommend it. I think it's going to be really good. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Cool. All right, my first book is Batman White Knight Presents Von Freeze 1. It's a one-off.
Yep.
Black Label. Written by Sean Murphy. Art by Klaus Janssen?
Janssen. Oh, okay. Well, I always say Janssen. It could be Janssen. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, when you got a name like Klaus, it could be Janssen.
Yeah, you're right. Know. Yeah.
So, did you get a chance to read this one?
I did.
What'd you think? I liked it.
I liked it. I didn't love it. It was definitely a different take on Victor Freeze.
Yeah.
And Thomas Wayne, you know.
Yeah.
And in Nora, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the characters were there, but it was a very different take on all of them.
So, did you read at the end what Sean Murphy wrote?
No.
He writes a letter, like, there's a little, after letter or whatever.
Right.
And the PS is what this was supposed to be in the original White Knight, but it got too long. And so he put it in. He said, I think it was in the PS. He's like, just consider this like it wedged between 6 and 7 of Curse of the White Knight, the second
book. Okay.
I thought it was a very good story. Especially as a one-off, I thought it was an interesting take. It could be an alt-world type thing.
Right.
But what I really liked, I thought the art was really good. I thought the story, it flies by. It's, what was it, like 50 pages, something like that?
It was pretty long, but
feel that at all. And
no.
You really were, especially knowing the backgrounds of these characters anyways, but you were still riveted to the story.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought made it good. And, you know, another one of those Black Label things that I think that – and Dr. Joe will like this. It's normal size.
Yes.
So it's your standard comic book black label.
Well, it's
size.
The, right. It's the same as the white. It's the same as the White Knight.
Right.
Books,
right.
Which are all black label, but they're standard. It does have that cardstock, like that better cover.
Yes. Yes.
But it's normal size.
It's a normal size, so it'll fit in your bins. And
yep.
But yeah, I thought it was really good. Definitely as a one off, it's even if you're not reading White Knight, Curse of White Knight, I think it would be. It's still a fun story.
It's a standalone for sure. Yeah. Like it almost until
it plays
the end,
into free it
right kind of till
the
end. You don't even see where it ties into the curse until the end.
Right.
So it definitely could stand on its own if you're not reading it, and you wouldn't miss anything.
Right. And I mean, it is an interesting story on the characters in it,
right?
Where they came from and how it plays. You know, it's a good story arc. It's yeah. It just very. There's no Batman in it until
not really till the end.
Yeah, barely. So
that's why I was saying it barely ties into White Knight. It, you know, it really is a standalone.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Yeah, I recommend it. It's pretty good.
I liked it too.
Pretty good. All right, you ready to get into, what is it, Rye?
Rye. So from Valiant Comics, we have Rye number one, written by Dan Abnett. It had art by Juan Jose Ripe? I'm not sure. You know, Rye's a character that's been around for a long time, but I've never read any of it.
Yeah, neither have I.
So saying that, I feel like you don't have to have read any of it for this book. Like, I didn't have any trouble following along. Although I felt a couple of times like a little background wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah.
You know, definitely if you're a longtime reader, you'll have more depth for the story than if you're coming into it cold like we were. But like I said, that being said, I didn't have any trouble following the story at all.
Right.
Like, it's definitely a good jumping on point. But you know things have happened
correct
in the past.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You know, not having any of that, I felt like hurt a little bit. But it didn't, like I said, it didn't really diminish my understanding of the book or anything.
That's a great point. Remember when I did, what was it, Dark Arc?
Yeah.
And I was like, there's another story here, and I have no idea. I was lost.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, and I felt the more I learned about the past stories, I was like, wow, you really can't even come into this.
No,
I mean, it had a little bit in Dark Arc, you could, but there was so much more. This one didn't feel that way at all.
No, because I think that Dark Arc was made to be a direct sequel. So. Yeah. You know, it really was meant to build off the first story, where this is a reboot that was supposed to be friendly for new readers,
okay,
but also service, you know, the longtime readers. You know, it's just like the, you know, even like Marvel rebooted Ghost Rider recently, same type of thing. Like, you can read that book and you can follow it just fine. But if you know the history,
right,
you know, you just have more understanding. So, this is the same type of thing. So with all that being said, I don't know that I loved the book overall.
It's a quick, easy read.
It was quick. It was fun. I mean, it was very colorful. You know, very colorful. The art was good, I thought. But
it was a
little
simple,
superficial, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you're saying superficial, I'm saying simple. Same thing. It was. And I think that's part of the enjoyment. If I could, because it's so simple, you're just like, oh, okay. And I think that's the idea. I don't know the backstory. So I'm wondering if it's a little more complicated, but this way where we're coming in, it's a little bit more simplified but I think it's still a good story. It was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
You know,
there was some comedy in there. I said, it was fun.
And sarcasm.
It was kind of like a summer popcorn movie, you know?
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. But it was interesting in the sense that, you know, knowing what the mission is, that I guess
it builds
I don't
tension.
Want to spoil it. But you're right. There is tension that's building in because, you know, they're going to be hunting down their brothers
whatever.
And sisters or whatever, you know? So It feels like there'll be obviously more to come. And, you know, I'll be on board for the, you know, at least the next one to see where it goes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I thought it was interesting. Like I said, it was a simple, quick read, very entertaining. Not in the standard way of a comic book, but I thought I liked it. If you like fantasy stuff, it had, you know, a whole lot of mysticism and robots.
Yeah, well, and this is the 41st century, and I have to point out that it is not a dystopian future. So right away, I was on board.
You're on board, and it was colorful, so that's why right. It's not dystopian.
Right.
But yeah.
But it didn't feel too much different than 2019. You know what I mean? For being the 41st century.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it felt like it could just be happening right now. You know, they're basically just in a diner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say the diner, you could have been in the 50s.
Right.
Never mind 2019. All right. Did you happen to read Marauders?
No. Not yet.
Okay. Well,
I haven't read any Marvel yet. I read most of my DC and some of the independents. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to get to into any Marvel today. Yeah, I read everything that we got, you know, in our Dropbox.
Yeah, exactly. So. Marauders, I'd say the first 5 or 6 pages, I was like, all right, I'm out on this. It was, I was just like, I'm tired of white pages. I'm tired of info. And then it picked up.
Okay.
And it got entertaining. So I'm not out on it. But I mean, it was at the beginning. You'll see. Open it up.
Well, and I am going to say, we've talked about it before. All of these books are already on a very short leash for me. You know? Like, I'm already out on New Mutants. And it won't take too much to push me out on the rest of these either.
And it's so funny. I feel bad because they're doing that to you. And these white pages, I think, are really doing it. They were very successful at the beginning, but now
they're starting
we
to be
need
a drain.
Comic books.
Yeah, they're draining now.
They're turning into encyclopedias, and you're like, I don't need that. That's not what I pick up these books for, you know? And it's just. But it did redeem itself. There's some humor in there. It kind of picks up, but it.
Because that is one of the ones I liked reading the most. Like, from the number ones, I think Marauders was like my number two book. So.
Yes. And that's why I almost stopped reading it, but I'm like, literally, like 3 pages, 4 pages in, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. And then I stopped myself and I said, no, keep going, because if you quit on this, you're down to 1 X-Men book.
Right.
So I was like, so I kept going, and I like the way it ended. So we can get into that later, I guess.
All right.
All right. That it?
I think so.
All right. All right. What did you guys read? Well, we're seeing it on Twitter, so we keep retweeting. Yeah. Any comments, questions, comments? Let us know on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. You okay?
Yeah, I'm just trying not to sneeze on your broadcast, so.
No. I was on a roll there. And
I know. I didn't say anything.
Is he leaking air? What was that noise?
No, I was trying not to sneeze.
No, I saw you, and I'm like, is he going to pass out on me?
Yeah.
Go on iTunes. If you're on iTunes, I should say. If you're on iTunes, please, just while you're listening, go over, rate, review. You know, subscribe if you haven't. That would be great. Go to the Nerdy Legion podcast network at nerdylegion.com, and you can subscribe to all of the great content. Look at me, I'm running ads here.
I know.
One of these weeks I'm going to go, John, you do all this.
Yeah, well,
ha-choo!
That won't go well, so
exactly.
Just telling you now.
Yeah, so, alright. That's enough of that. I've slowed my roll here.
Okay.
Let's lock the door. We'll get out of here. Will you be... See? There it is.
There it is.
There's a gas leak. We will be back on Monday with Rogue One.
Yep.
Peek behind the curtain. I've already watched it. It's awesome.
Me too. Yep.
All right. Let's lock the door. I'm going to talk a little bit of Batman 83. If you haven't read it, don't listen. If you have read it, hey, check it out. And if you don't care about spoilers, you can hang out too. Yep. All right, we're out of here. Hey, Fred. Alrighty, door locked?
It is.
Alright, what'd you think?
I thought it was a great issue.
So,
you know, very poignant, obviously.
I get a text from Bill the other day. He's like, did you read Batman 83 yet? And before I could reply, he's like, it's heartbreaking or whatever.
Yeah, it is.
And I was like, it was brutal. It took everything in me this week not to put out this tweet. And I didn't want to spoil it for anybody because what did we read it like on Sunday, right?
I read it Sunday night. Yeah. And you know, it took six issues to get here because,
right.
You know, he died in 77 and they skirted around it for six issues.
Right.
But you knew it was coming eventually.
Here's what I wanted to tweet. The Batman Who Laughs writing, the black and gray, or the gray on red.
Right.
Red on gray, I mean. That was difficult to read.
This was tough too.
I was like, I can't focus on these. Yeah. Damn. It was hard. That was brutal because he did such a good job of, once he grabbed to those heartstrings, he just ripped.
He did. Yes.
It was absolutely brutal.
It was brutal. And the art was perfect. I thought, the art was great. Yeah. Like I said, the writing was, I don't know if it was, I guess it was a letter from Alfred. Like, I couldn't quite tell where it was coming from, you know, cause obviously it was like Alfred speaking to Bruce.
I think you left a recording.
So was it a recording or a letter or something? Cause obviously he knew it was coming. Like he knew that Thomas was going to kill him.
He's going to kill me.
He knows he's going to die. So he either leaves him a note or he leaves him this recording. I mean, and nowhere in the book did it look like Batman was reading anything, so I guess he was listening to it.
Here's my question to you. The writing on the wall. You are not Batman.
Yeah, I think that's Thomas, right?
I thought it was Alfred. I thought that's Alfred saying you are not Batman. You are, 'cause the thing with Batman throughout, especially throughout this, but a lot of people have said it. They said it in the Dark Knight trilogy when, what's her name, said it to him at the end of Batman Begins. Be like, no, this is, your mask is Bruce Wayne.
Right.
You are Batman. I think this is Alfred trying to say you are human. You are more than just Batman.
But did he write it in his own blood or like?
I don't know. That's what I mean. They didn't say what it was. I'm speculating myself. You know,
right.
And
no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, how would he have?
But that's
wrote
what
it
his
there?
Message was too.
Well,
to
that's
him.
What the right. That's what
you know
the
what
message
I mean?
was
his
that
literal,
you know, he was like the little boy,
or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
And I loved how he went back to on top of the building, in the wedding.
Right.
And how he knew like Batman was heartbroken that night.
Right.
And I thought I was like. The whole thing, I want to read it again, but I'm like,
well, talking
it's
about
hard.
How the only time he had ever seen him smile was that night on the, you know, on the rooftop, and yeah, it was really well done. Like,
and so my question, another question, is it permanent?
I have heard rumors that it's going to carry on into the next creator's arc.
Yeah,
so
well, it would have to. I mean,
no,
because
no, he
just
could
reboot on 86 or.
Well, Tom King could reveal something before the end.
True.
Before he leaves. He's got two more issues to do it, but it feels like it's, I mean, nothing's permanent.
Well,
in comics,
no.
But it feels like it may stand for a while. Like
yes.
when I first read 77, I figured he'd be back in two issues, you know, that it was just going to be a decoy, or again, the speculation was that it was the Alfred from Thomas's reality. That's what everybody was saying.
Right.
But now I don't think that's the case.
Right.
So,
so what I like about this is, and what I thought it was more powerful. So I remember when Superman died in what was that? 91, 92.
Yeah. Something like that.
So the year, not book.
right.
So that was not emotional to me at all, because I think everybody knew Superman wasn't permanently dead, because there's no way. Like, so we were 21, 22 years old at the time, and I knew that I was never going to be sitting there talking to my kids, my son, and going, hey, when I was a kid, there was this guy with a red cape.
Right.
You know, I knew Superman was coming back. You don't kill off that character. But how cool would it be if it was permanent for a while? Because he's that big. I think he's that iconic. He's as iconic as
like
Superman.
Alfred to me is the one that's more upsetting. Like, you can kill anybody off. Hell, you can kill Bruce off for that matter, but not Alfred. It's like when you're watching movies and, you know, 100 people get shot and you don't care, but then the dog gets shot and you're like, you can't. Yeah, Alfred's like the dog.
He's
you know,
the innocent he's like bystander. He's just the nice guy,
and he's the one that should always be like I said, in my mind, was always untouchable. Like, you can't get rid of Alfred, and so whether they have or not, I don't know. But again, his death upsets me more than anybody else in the. Like, they could kill Dick Grayson, they could kill whoever, but like, you know, Alfred, and again, the dynamic of Batman going forward is radically different now.
Yeah.
Like, what happens with that character when there's nobody back at the, there's nobody on the other end of the earpiece anymore.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know what that means for Batman going forward.
I think it deepens, and I said this in my tweet, I think it deepens the universe. Because it creates more depth to all of those characters, and it makes you like, okay, just like you just said, like, what is going to happen with Batman? Right. How does this happen? How does this affect the universe?
If I'm like James Tynion, like, if I'm the next writing team, I actually want that challenge.
Exactly.
So that's why I feel like it may stay for a while, because they might want to explore that dynamic now of Batman with nobody. There's no Oracle, there's nobody at the cave.
Yeah.
You know.
And how
now,
do you
maybe
bring
he
him
has
back?
A That's maybe he has a maybe there's an Alfred AI that you know, he Tony Starked it, and there's going to be somebody on the other end. But again, who's there now to stitch him up when he comes home? There's nobody there to.
Well, he has a Bat family, which has been established, but I think
But
the
really
next
none
one
of them none of them like him all that
Selena.
Much. He's like the uncle that nobody really likes at Thanksgiving, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they all put up with him, but they don't really like him. But again, like, who's there to, like I said, there's nobody there to sew him up, to bandage him up,
Selena,
cook him dinner.
I think she's going to end up taking over that, not literally in the cave on his in his ear, but I think she's going to become, and
well,
that
maybe, but.
And in Tom King's storyline that he takes over. I think that's what the dynamic of those two is going to manifest from this.
Right.
So, I mean, all of those questions, I think that's what adds the depth to the entire story on both sides, from both story arcs, I think.
Now there's nobody to put on the Batman mask so he can prove he's in two places. He's in, you know, the same place at the same time, you know?
I just thought it was, I wasn't expecting it this week. I knew he had,
well, you knew it was coming.
77 and we knew it was coming, but it was one of those things where I thought they did a good job of, like, they had other things going on. And then this one, you're like,
kind of punched
in the
gut a little bit.
I forgot that. I forgot we still have to deal with that.
Right. Cause you know, what's funny is that, you never really knew he was gone. Like, you knew in 77 that he died,
That's
right?
That's what I mean,
But, like, if you read any other, like, if you read Justice League, if you read any other book where Batman shows up, there's always that little thing at the bottom that says, this takes place before Batman 77.
77,
so, like, Alfred's been around ever since he died, and they're just retconning it to say this is takes place,
exactly,
you know, 10 days ago or whatever. So, maybe Batman 87 just picks up and they're all taking place 10 days ago. It's like, they're all going to say, this took place before Batman 77.
77, yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah,
But again, now, I know we're done with the speculator portion of the book, but jump back on those Batman 77s now, because this may be a book that starts to pick up some value very quickly.
Yeah.
If it looks like Alfred is actually going to, if it's not a trick. Because
right.
everybody assumed it was going to be a trick, and they didn't really jump on that issue.
Hey, I just had an interesting theory and thought that I thought of when I was reading the book. And I'm not 100% sure. This could be just my revisionist history of reading the book. But he took his cape off to
right.
cover Alfred.
Right.
Again, this is my revisionist history part. Is that when he saw You Are Not Batman? Because that's when I linked the two together. Is that when they showed that on the wall?
I don't remember if that's when he saw it the first time. I honestly don't remember. Because they showed it like two or three different times throughout
right.
the issue.
But what – I thought that was a great – like to incorporate the art with the story and the actions – of removing the cape to cover Alfred and like removing the cape and like You Are Not Batman.
Right. And
almost like I'm taking the cape off, I'm not Batman. But the reason why, the only reason he would take the cape off is to cover Alfred.
Right.
And it's like, what if he doesn't put the cape back on and he wears a costume without a cape after that?
It's he like, looks a little silly, but.
All right.
Like, okay.
What you call it doesn't wear a cape? Batman Beyond.
No, I mean, there's lots of characters that don't wear capes. I'm just saying.
No, I know, but
he'll look silly without it because.
Yeah. I mean, that's how he glides and flies and whatever he does, but that would be, what if he just decided to swing, you know?
Yeah.
Swing with his cables and stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought that part of the story where he saw that, I thought that was pretty cool and, I mean, poignant, you know?
Yes.
That's why I asked in Speculator.
Definitely heart-wrenching,
like,
for sure.
How is this not getting...
But yeah, so far it's not. I mean, because it's not the death issue, you know what I mean? It's... I don't know. There was no, like, surprise or twist or anything really in it that Speculators would grab onto. It's just a good read. And generally, Speculators don't care about reads. You know, they want something
right.
to have happened. So...
Yeah, I'm flipping through right now looking for that part when he took, I think it is.
It might be, I just don't remember.
So I'm seeing him with his cape, I'm flipping. He took his cape off, they haven't shown anything like, so yeah, he has his cape on, he comes in, sees Alfred, picks Alfred up, drops him, blah, blah, blah. Obviously this is all spoilers.
Right.
He takes his cape off. He covers Alfred. You turn the page, and he looks up, and that's when
he sees
You Are Not Batman. And not seems to be a little larger, slightly larger than you are. So it's almost
right.
like you are not Batman. And it's not like really written in blood. It's written in spray paint.
Well, right. But
so I'm wondering, like,
still, I don't know. Like, Alfred's running around the mansion with a can of spray paint. You know,
I don't
he's not
know. It's like,
tagging
but,
the walls.
But
it could be.
It
you're
could
right.
be
I just
because
don't know.
That's his message in his voice,
right.
but you are not Batman. But it's also, that's also Thomas Wayne's message, too.
Well, right. That's why I think it's Thomas.
Right.
Because I think if it was Alfred, it would have just been more in the messaging that he left him.
But
you
I
know?
Thought it was
and
cool.
He wouldn't
that
necessarily
he...
deface the wall, you know.
It's that frame right there that and then that's when he first looks up. Right after he takes the cape off, Alfred is now covered and he looks up and he sees You Are Not Bad. That's the first time they show it in the book.
Right.
So, wow. Yeah. Powerful. Oof. And the poems that he used.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Like I said, it was written very well.
Yep.
I mean, again, for an issue, like nothing happens. Like there's no real action in the issue. It's just like a character moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, it ends on a pretty good action.
I guess.
Them all coming together at the end.
Right.
I thought was really cool. And, I mean, it's just, I can't wait for 84.
I mean, the next two issues are going to be, you know, all out balls to the wall, it seems like, you know?
It's going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to it. All right, let's end on that high note.
Okay.
All right. Looking forward to 84 and 85. 83 was unreal. I don't think I'll ever get rid of those two copies that I got. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.